It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent rodhunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. Well, if you listen to KCBQ every Sunday, you know that the person who's on the air before me is Dave Stahl, and he has several shows. Dave always does a great job, but on his way out tonight, he said, bring back Jim Barrier. And I said, Jim Barrier is on tonight. So here's what this means. We haven't done the demographics yet, but you can just bet that there are at least two people who listen when Jim Barrier's on, Dave Stahl and Jim Barrier's wife, Nancy. Jim, welcome to our program.
Wow, my ratings doubled.
Your ratings just doubled, yes. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Bob. And also, happy birthday. I hadn't told you happy birthday yet. You just did that a few days ago. So.
Yeah, well, I was a lot happier having birthdays when I was a little kid than I am days. It's just a reminder of how much older I'm getting now.
I had friends that had birthdays in December, and sometimes they kind of got ripped off. They'd get, you know, one present that would count for birthday and Christmas. You didn't, well.
No, mine is on December the 3rd, so it's far enough removed from Christmas that it's not really a problem.
Well, I
know people who have their birthdays actually on December the 25th. So,
yeah, that's no good. Unless you're Jesus. And of course, we know, you know, I've heard people get all up and I was like, oh, Jesus really wasn't born in December. So what?
Well, we don't know when he was born. It may even have been in December. I know some people think spring, but the point is they took a Roman festival, the festival of Saturnalia. Yeah. By the way, we're going to be repeating in a couple of weeks my annual Christmas special on the history of Christmas traditions. I'll get into that in more detail. But they took a Roman holiday and they converted it to Christianity. And like I always say, if God can convert a soul, he can convert a holiday.
He is all about redemption. I believe in that. I believe in redeeming things that are part of the wrong kingdom and pulling them in and make them part of the kingdom of God. So I don't have a problem with any of the stuff. And your show will be good. I've heard you talk about that subject. So that'll be a good one, folks, to tune into. Anyway, Merry Christmas, everybody, because this is my final show of the year. And I always look forward to this for a number of reasons. One is because I know we're going to hear some Christmas music for bumper.
Absolutely.
And I love that. Well, really, I start with the day after Thanksgiving, because that's somebody has rules about that. But it's nothing but Christmas music. That's all I listen to. In the car, in the house, I just listen to Christmas songs. So I love that. So here we go. Now, our tradition has been, when I've been on the show, my last show of the year, we do a little bit of wrap-up of the current year, and then we'll do a little projection going into the next year. Now, of course, the big story, unless you've been under a rock or something, the big story in 2024 was the campaign and the election and Donald Trump becoming president again. He's president-elect, but he's already acted like a president, which is something we haven't seen in 4 years by anybody. So that was the big story. And anything else that's a story, you can tie it into Trump. Because good or bad, we want to talk about Donald Trump. So he did get elected. And I did vote for him, warts and all. I just told people going into that thing, look, why don't you look at the last 4 years and how your life has been and the economy and when you visit the gas pump, and then think back to the 4 years preceding that. Was there a difference that was noticeable? Did you see anything? Forget about the personalities. Forget about whether Trump is obnoxious or Kamala was a blithering idiot. Forget about all of that. What were the policies? What were the things that have been accomplished under each administration? It's kind of a no-brainer from there. So the big story, And I was more surprised than you were. You probably thought that he would win, but that they would steal it somehow. I wasn't even
Knew they would try to steal it. I didn't know if they would succeed. Based on the stats I was getting from my other co-host, Mike Friedenberg, I was realizing it was getting more difficult for them to steal it. But yeah. Another thing that we did predict is that even if Trump won, they were going to do everything they could to still keep him out of office. And they are trying to booby trap this administration by starting wars and not confirming his appointees. Yeah. And of course, Joe Biden giving a blanket pardon for Hunter for everything he did for the last 10 years, even things he hasn't been charged with. And now they're saying, and they're probably going to do this, he's going to pardon Pelosi. He's going to pardon Anthony Fauci. Now, I'm not a lawyer, and I know people will argue about this. I know the Constitution gives the president the powers to pardon, and I know it's written very generally, but I bet if we went and did an in-depth study of the forefathers, we find that the spirit behind that was crimes people had already been convicted of and sentenced for.
Yeah.
So I don't think this is even constitutional, but they're going to try it.
And in effect, with the stuff with Hunter, he's kind of pardoning himself because now they can't investigate things that were directly tied to the big guy.
Although if any of them have state charges, a federal pardon won't make any difference. Also, the House can now bring Hunter in to get him to testify against his dad. And Hunter can't claim the Fifth because the Fifth is only there if you're in jeopardy of being charged, and they won't be able to charge him since he's pardoned.
Yeah.
So that could backfire unless Biden also pardons himself. And I would not put that past him at all. And they'll just excuse by saying, well, Trump's going to weaponize the FBI and come after us. Which is we always say, they always accuse the Republicans of doing exactly what they're already doing.
Exactly. And, you know, now I'd love it if Trump went in and pardoned everybody on the January 6th thing, everyone who was charged.
Well, see now, but that would be constitutional because A, they were charged, and B, they should not have been charged. So that one would fit.
Yeah.
And people are going to just say, oh, tit for tat, you're doing the same thing. But it's not the same. You have to evaluate these things on an individual basis.
Yeah. So, needless to say, we're not out of the woods yet. Trump won. The Republicans carried the House and the Senate. That's good, though there's a lot of rhinos mixed in there. But at least they have a majority in both chambers. And so there's potential to get some stuff done. But
I'm skeptical of what the rhinos are going to do. I really am. I don't know if Pete Hegseth's going to get past the rhinos, although he is so popular, they may just be scared to death of being voted out of there. But I just don't know which ones are up for re-election. Because every senator serves 6 years. Those that just got reelected don't have to worry about it. But anybody that's up for 2 years from now should be paying attention, maybe even 4 years from now.
Exactly. At the end of the show, second half of the show, we'll do our predictions, and I want to talk about some of that stuff when we do that. So let's jump into our reflection, our assessment of things that happened in 2024. And I always like to tribute, give honor to people that have passed away this year, celebrities, obviously, because I could tell you about some of my friends and you say, I don't know who that is. But there have been a number of high profile people. And it occurred to me when I was compiling this list that every year this list gets longer. And
well, Joe Biden's brains passed away, although I think that was a couple of years ago. But may they rest in peace.
Yeah. So here we're going to go. I want to start with some musicians or people in the music industry that passed away in 2024. Start with Quincy Jones, great musical producer, director. Really, his genius in his career had to do with other people that he worked with. And he did release some stuff and he wrote some music. But he worked with so many people and he was a great one. Not going to say that he was a great moral human being. And like so many celebrities, he had quite a personal life with many children from many women, some that he was married to. But Quincy Jones was a great one. And right next to him, I want to mention Sondra Crouch. Do you know Sondra Crouch? You know who she was?
I know the names. A lot of times with musicians, I know the names and would even recognize the music, but I don't connect one with the other.
You would recognize.
That's why we don't play Stump Bob Siegel. We play Stump Jim Barrett.
No, that's right. That's right. Well, her twin brother was Andre Crouch.
Oh, of course. Now, him I obviously heard of and heard him play live. Our church in San Jose hosted him one time.
But I did many times and loved Andre.
Andre Crouch and the Disciples.
Andre Crouch and the Disciples. And his sister Sondra played tambourine and sang harmony stuff. But she also wrote some great songs. And now this gets a little trivial, but she sang a song that was co-wrote by Quincy Jones and Andre Crouch called God is Trying to Tell You Something, that was in the film The Color Purple. So how's that for trivia right there?
That's pretty minute.
Yeah, well...
I don't mean minute like unimportant. I mean minute like fine-tuned getting into the weeds.
Yeah, that's unfortunately what I do way too much. It drives my wife nuts.
Don't we all?
And then now here's another one. Phil Lesh. He was the bass player in the Grateful Dead. So you've certainly heard of the Grateful Dead. Phil Lesh passed away. I saw that band many times. Not nearly as many times as Bill Walton, who was a huge Deadhead, but Phil Lesh passed away. Here's another, a great singer-songwriter, guy that I had great respect for, Kris Kristofferson.
Oh, yeah. Now, I didn't care for him much as an actor. I'm not commenting on him as a singer as much, but
yeah.
As an actor, he seemed to kind of mumble and stumble through his lines. He seemed drunk half the time, or at least he was playing the parts of people like that.
He played that part well. But yeah, he wouldn't have had an acting career if he hadn't had a music career to begin with.
That I can believe.
He was married to and did some music, a couple of albums with Rita Coolidge, and they were a great duo. Here's a guy that I saw on stage. His name is J.D. Souther. He wrote a lot of songs for the Eagles, and that's when I saw him. He walked on stage, and he sang his big hit, You're Only Lonely. Great song, kind of a send-up of the Roy Orbison type of music in Only the Lonely that Roy sang.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've heard of Only the Lonely, but you're saying this one was called You're Only Lonely?
You're Only Lonely, and it's obviously it was a tribute to that song. It sounded very much like that song, but J.D. was a great songwriter, and he was part of that whole clan with the Eagles and Linda Ronstadt and all the L.A. musicians. Here's one, I'll bet Brandon knows this one, Maurice Williams. Maurice Williams and the Zodiacs, and they were the original group to do the song Stay. Just a little bit longer. You remember that song?
Yeah, I know that one. Yeah, I know that song. Yeah.
So Maurice passed away, and if you get a chance, find his version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. It's a great Christmas song.
I'm not feeling quite so old, Jim, because I'm thinking at least I'm not dead yet. I'm not old enough to be dead.
Well, I think you're younger than me, so just hang in there, buddy. Abdul Duke Fakir, who was the last surviving original member of the Four Tops. And certainly you remember the
Four Tops. Okay, yeah, everybody knows the Four Tops, sure.
Yeah. Now here's a San Diego guy, Doug Engel, who started, sang lead, and played organ in the Iron Butterfly. In a God and a Vita. Remember that song? And I think we had that as the Stump Jim Barrier song one night.
That was the very first Stump Jim Barrier song.
Wow.
Oh, man. Well, he remembers when they happened. That's crazy.
So now we got to have another version of Stump Jim Barrier. Jim Barrier's got to remember what music stumped him on which date.
No, don't do that to me. I have a hard time remembering stuff from last week. Now, stuff from 60 years ago in music I can remember, but I can't remember where I put my sunglasses.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, we lost Doug Engel. David Sanborn, great jazz saxophonist. You see him on TV a lot. He was always jamming with people like Paul Schaefer and folks like that. He's a great musician. Dickie Betts, who was one of the original members of the Allman Brothers. Great, great guitar player. Love Dickie Betts. Now we're jumping all over. We're talking about being eclectic. Steve Lawrence. I know you remember Steve Lawrence, Bob.
Yes, Steve Lawrence,
Steve Lawrence
I know.
And Edie Gourmet.
That's yep. The husband and wife team.
Yeah. Now here's one that's more popular out here where I live, but Toby Keith, country western singer, and he was very pro-military. He would go over and do concerts for the troops overseas, and he had a great song. Well, I thought it was a funny song, but it was a song called Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue, and you just have to listen to it. I can't say all the lyrics on it because it's a pretty tough song, but Toby Keith, we lost him. Now we're going to get obscure again, but this guy is one of my favorite. His name is Barry Jenkins, and he was a drummer originally in the Nashville Teens, who we also had on Stump Jim Barrier one night. They sang Tobacco Road. Barry Jenkins was their drummer, and then he went and joined the Animals with Eric Burdon.
And yeah, well, everybody knows the Animals.
Everybody knows them. And Barry was the only member that was in the old Animals and the new Animals, along with Eric Burdon. And then a partner of his, a guy named George Bruno, who went by the moniker Zoot Money, British musician. And he joined the Animals, at least for one album. Here's a guy, this is a hero of mine, Duane Eddy and his twangy guitar. Had a big hit, Rebel Rouser, and I used it in the Forrest Gump film. Duane Eddy, one of the guitar greats back when they used to do instrumentals all the time and surf music and that stuff. He was right in there. And then the last musician that I'm going to mention is Randy Sparks, and we've talked about him. He's the founder of the New Christy Minstrels.
Yes.
And so we lost Randy, and he was a good friend of Barry McGuire, obviously. Barry was in the New Christy Minstrels, so I know that was a tough loss for Barry. So that's our musical guys. Anybody that either of you can think of? Can anybody think of anybody that we lost in the music?
Brendan's usually pretty good at coming up with people that passed away.
I would, but we can do it after the commercial break here.
Okay.
And I can name a few more.
All right. Okay. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Santa Claus may come to town, but Jim Barrier comes on this show sometimes once a month. Seems like twice a month, although he was here 2 weeks ago in November, but seems like twice a month. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
And that was Bruce Springsteen, by the way, singing one of my favorite Christmas songs. It's a great tune. That one was recorded live. Okay, let's move into actors. And when I say that, it's actors and actresses, if it's necessary for me to clear that up for people. But these are people in the film and also TV shows. Some of these were some of my real favorite people. Well,
and it's so sad when they pass away because we grew up with these people. I remember at the Oscars the year Gene Kelly died, they showed a montage of his films and they ended with him saying or singing, "I'm dancing and singing in the rain." Then he goes dancing off in the sunset.
Wow. Yeah.
It was really heart-wrenching.
Yeah. And he was not only an actor, great dancer, but he was a power player. He had a lot of influence and made a lot of money. He did a lot of stuff to help other people in the industry.
Yeah. And that was before actors said stupid things all the time about politics.
Yeah, exactly. Now, one of my favorite TV actors, and also just did stand-up comedy, is a really funny guy, Bob Newhart.
Yes. And I think Brendan mentioned a few weeks ago on the air when he passed away.
Yeah. Unlike anybody else, he just had a style that was
that
unique.
Dry humor. I just love dry humor.
Yeah. And he did the bit where he's on the phone and he kind of hesitated.
Yes.
It was a great routine. And of course, maybe the greatest ending to a TV sitcom.
Yes, where the new show ended up just being a dream. And they were making fun of Dallas, which was supposed to be a serious show that did that. The genius of Bob Newhart was what made you laugh. It's, he had these funny, zany people around him. He was a straight man and the deadpan expression. And it's harder to play a straight man than it is to play some flamboyant person. But we were laughing because of his reactions to the funny people around him. It got channeled. Yeah. And that's just sheer brilliance when somebody can do that.
Yeah, true genius. Now, this perhaps the voice of my favorite villain ever, James Earl Jones, the voice of Darth Vader, and many other things. The Darth Vader thing, I think, really put him on the map. And they never showed his face. That was what was funny. Well, and,
but he did so many other things. He played the part of Alex Haley in the sequel to Roots, Roots the Next Generation, which showed how Haley was looking up his family genealogy and traveling to Africa to verify the story. And it was, even though people think of the first part of Roots as the classic miniseries, that was really an interesting episode.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I love the guy. And now, one of my favorite films, and he was in it, was Field of Dreams.
Yes, where the baseball players came back to life. Yeah, wonderful movie.
Yeah, and that great soliloquy. There will always be baseball, Ray. You could march through America and erase it with an army of steamrollers. But baseball marks the time, Ray. I used to love that guy. What a voice. I can't do James Earl Jones. His voice was so deep and so, you know, just perfect voice.
Yeah.
He did.
And the Darth Vader was just dead on perfect.
That was it. That was the one. So we lost him. And then another actress, she was really a funny lady, Terry Garr.
Oh, I hadn't heard about her. Yeah, she was. Yeah. Now, she was always kind of the straight-laced wife of somebody that was kind of losing it, like Richard Dreyfuss in Close Encounters and John Denver in Oh God. She was always the straight-laced, struggling wife.
Except for Young Frankenstein.
Oh, yes. That was, well, you bring in Mel Brooks, you're always going to have an exception.
Well, yeah. Great stuff. That's probably my favorite Mel Brooks film. Maggie Smith, who had a great
The prime of Miss Jean Brody. And years later, she played the part of the older Wendy in Hook, which got a lot of mixed reviews, but it wasn't a bad film, all in all.
In later years, with the young generation, will remember her from the Harry Potter films. So she was a great, great, great actress. And she did a few things. I saw her do some things, and she would have a comic side, which would always catch you by surprise. So we lost Maggie Smith. Shelley Duvall.
Oh, my goodness. Duvall. Olive Oil from the Popeye movie. And then, of course, the classic movie is with Jack.
She kind of looked like Olive Oil. They did a great job on that.
Yeah. When she was in The Shining with Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, that's the other end of the spectrum, isn't it?
Yeah.
This actor had a long, long career, and I just watched, it was probably the last thing he did. I don't know. He did a series, Donald Sutherland.
Oh, did he just pass away? Yeah. Well, he got his big start, where he became really famous was MASH, and then he did an exceptional performance in Ordinary People as the husband of Mary Tyler Moore. He was a phenomenal actor.
Great actor. I like just about everything he did.
Yeah, he was the original Hawkeye Pierce. More people are familiar with the MASH TV show, but they forget it was a hit movie, an Academy Award-winning movie before it became a television series. And that was the original Hawkeye Pierce, Donald Sutherland.
Yeah.
Oh, and Clute? He was in Clute with Jane Fonda?
I'm trying to think of who all the actors were, but that's who I think of. And of course, he was in the movie Animal House with John Belushi.
Oh,
he played
a
professor.
Yes. He was also in the movie version of Buffy the Vampire Slayer before that became a series, and he was her original tutor. They brought in another guy, and it became a series. That was kind of a zany thing.
He was in The Hunger Games.
Yeah, The Hunger Games with Woody Harrelson and others.
Yeah. Donald Sutherland had a great career and just a really versatile actor.
Okay, so we'll pay homage to some more people when we return. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Thank you.
This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539, W&S Electric.
Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to talk about my latest book, The Many Myths About Ministry. As you know, I'm a Christian apologist, but let me tell you something. In my many years of interactions with skeptics, doubters, and even seekers, I have found that the vast majority of their problems with Christianity stem from previous church experiences. Yes, what's more, many of their concerns are valid and serve as inspiration for this book. While defending the truth of the Bible and the importance of the gospel message, I nevertheless take an honest look at the way Christians interact with each other. From the larger issues of putting our leaders on too high a pedestal, to the unfair judging of the way another person worships, to the unsolicited advice which claims to have been led by the Spirit of God. Of course, and I do believe the Spirit of God speaks, I do, but a lot of times Christians are putting words in his mouth. Who are we kidding? My friends, this simple, easy read will strike a chord of familiarity with anyone involved in church life. It's a call to lay aside the unimportant issues that distract us and return to the heart of Christian community.
The Many Myths About Ministry by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Run, run, Rudolph! Santa meant to make it in town. Santa, make him hurry, tell him he can take the freeway down. Run, run, Rudolph, reeling like a merry-go-round.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show and the show within a show. Yes, it's time for another episode of Stump Jim Barrier.
Okay.
All right, Jim. So I went back to the 60s again for you again.
Okay.
Think of this as my Christmas.
Is it Christmas music?
No, it's not Christmas related again.
Let me play trivia with you on this.
Okay.
The song that we just came back to was not Marty McFly, but it was Chuck Berry.
Good reference.
Do you know the name of that song?
That would be Run, Rudolph, Run.
Run, Rudolph, I guess. That's the refrain.
What did you say, Brandon?
I said it was Run, Rudolph, Run.
That's the correct title.
Oh.
And everybody thinks it's Run, Run, Rudolph.
Well, I guess the fact that they sing it that way might have something to do with it.
But if you're going to, I mean, if you want to be nitpicky, and sometimes we do, it was Run, Rudolph, Run. Very good. Very good. Okay.
Well, I think this is kind of interesting because I have an interesting fact following this song about this particular thing. So without any further ado, let's get into Stump Jim Barrier. Jim, this is your song.
Okay. Got it.
Already?
All right, well, let's hear a little of it.
Let it play.
Oh, yeah, that's the one that's titled No, 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 No.
Yeah. Count how many times they say that. Say the word no.
And it's only a 2-minute song, but go ahead. What do you
have? Nobody but me. That's the human beings. B-E-I-N-Z.
That is correct. Good job, Jim.
And Paul Schaefer and his band used to use that on David Letterman, and they sang, Know Your Cuts of Meat.
But I must confess, I'm a little concerned for Brendan that he didn't play a Stump Christmas song during Christmas season. I'm afraid he may get visited by three spirits tonight.
Oh man. Oh, my.
Oh, I hope not.
I was kind of hoping he would, just because you know how much we both love Christmas music.
But you requested last time that he did the 60s, and he did the 60s, so poor Brendan can't win. We got to give Brendan a break here.
But he did it. He knew that it was Run, Rudolph, Run.
That's right. Yeah.
So did you know why they're called the Banes?
Because it would have been too boring to say beings.
They were literally called the Beans. However, someone at Capitol Records, when they signed their contract, accidentally left the G off of there. So once they started printing out the records, it was too late for that.
That's funny. I did not know that.
There you go.
As Johnny Carson used to say.
I did not know that.
Exactly. So, well, there you go. And that's an iconic song because it just keeps going, no. I will confess to you, one morning in church, I played that song, but then I changed the lyrics, and it was, nobody shows mercy like our Lord. Nobody shows. And I had them rolling in the aisles, and then they nearly fired me. But really?
Somebody had to freak out over that? Boy, the things people choose to fight over.
Well, the truth is, the last church I pastored, I got away with so much. They expected stuff like that, you know. So I got away with a few things like that. So, okay. Well, back to our 2024 reflection. We left off with Donald Sutherland. Dabney Coleman.
Oh, yeah. He was in some good stuff. 9 to 5 and the War Games, to name a few.
All kinds of things. Yeah. Oh, I love that one, War Games. And this guy, I love this guy. You mentioned Roots. Lewis Gossett Jr.
Oh, wonderful actor. He played Fiddler in Roots, and then he was also the sergeant in Officer and a Gentleman. That's the movie I'm trying to think of.
And he won an Oscar.
He won Best Supporting Oscar for Officer and a Gentleman.
Yeah, so he was a great one. And another supporting actor, Carl Weathers. He played Apollo Creed.
Oh, okay. I wasn't familiar with the actor's name, but we all know Apollo Creed from Rocky, obviously.
Yeah exactly. And I always loved him. I didn't think the Rocky films would have been nearly as good without Apollo Creed.
I still think they should have just stopped with Rocky 1, just like they should have stopped with Jaws 1 and so many others.
Yeah, probably so.
Although, they weren't horrible till we got to Rocky 4 when he gave a lecture to the Kremlin. That one was just pushing it. If I could change and you could change and we could all change, and then the world would be a better place.
I quit in the one when Apollo Creed got killed by Clubber Lang or whoever. No, it was the Russian guy. But when they got rid of Apollo Creed, I didn't care for any of the films after that.
I will say also, he was a former San Diego State football player before he started acting.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. And he was always very athletic looking in the films that he was in. David Soul, remember him?
Yeah, from Starsky and Hutch, and then a lesser-known show called Here Come the Brides that was on for 2 years.
Yeah. He also had a number one hit.
Yeah, Don't Give Up on Us Baby, right?
Very good, very good.
No, I had to redeem myself after that.
Oh, you did. Yeah.
Rudolph Run or Run Rudolph.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I know. Another actor, and he did. You know, he didn't usually play lead roles, but Earl Holliman.
That one's not ringing a bell. What things was he in?
He was the sidekick for Angie Dickinson in Police Woman.
Oh, never watched it, but I remember the show.
And he was in one of my favorite John Wayne films, The Sons of Katie Elder.
That I saw. That was good. Well, anything John Wayne was in was good.
Yeah. A younger guy, James Darren, who also had...
The Gidget movies, and one of my favorite shows when I was a kid, The Time Tunnel. I loved The Time Tunnel.
Yeah. And he did a great... He was in the film Guns of Navarone.
Yes, and he was also in Star Trek Deep Space Nine, which was the best incarnation of Star Trek they've ever had. He played a holographic nightclub owner, and he was excellent in that.
So James Darren, and he also sang.
Yeah.
He had a big hit, Goodbye Crew World. I don't know if you remember that song. So we lost James Darren. Now, this is kind of a hodgepodge. Radio, TV personalities, authors, comedians, people that we saw a lot. Phil Donahue.
I had not heard that he passed away.
Yeah. Another TV icon.
He created the format of the talk show that later on Oprah Winfrey took over.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He rode around with the microphone.
He said moronic things about Christianity. However, he was a good commentator, talented guy, and we're certainly sad to hear that he departed.
Yeah. Peter Marshall from Hollywood Squares.
Oh, yeah.
Which was really more famous for some of the celebrity guests they had. Usually in the center square was the funniest one. Paul Lynde and people like that.
Peter Marshall. Paul Lynde was one of my favorites.
I loved him. Now, this guy, a lot of people didn't like this guy, but I thought he was funny. Richard Simmons, the fitness guru.
Oh, that guy just pushed all the wrong buttons with me. But
that's just me.
I hated watching him jump around with that frilly. Okay, ladies, are we going to help each other today? Are we going to help? Oh, it just made me nauseous.
And he cried all the way to the bank. So many people hated him.
That's true.
Here's another one.
It was all an act, yeah. So he got the last
Dr.
laugh,
Ruth.
I guess. Dr. Ruth. Oh, yeah. Holocaust survivor who went ahead and made a name for herself by being a psychologist who specialized in sexual advice.
Exactly. And so that was very popular in that time. Here's a guy. This guy, I consider him a Renaissance guy. Martin Mull.
Oh, yeah.
Comedian, actor, musician, artist. He was one of those guys, he just had too much talent in one body. He was also not...
And he was a funny guy. If I'm thinking of the same person, he was pretty funny.
Very funny.
Yeah.
And a quirky comedian, Richard Lewis.
Oh, I remember him. Yeah.
Really dark humor, self-effacing. He'd be on Johnny Carson and stuff like that.
He was on Curb Your Enthusiasm a lot with Larry David.
Charles Osgood. The Osgood File, radio personality. Charles Osgood passed away this year. And then here's a guy, we actually had him on our radio show, Resistance Radio, Tony Campolo, very controversial Christian author.
Oh, Tony, speaker. Did you say Anthony Campolo? Tony Campolo?
I've
heard him speak, I've met him and heard him speak live many times. We used to run an institute called the Campus Ambassadors Summer Institute.
Yeah.
Several years in a row, Tony Campolo was our keynote speaker. Okay, hold with me, Jim, for one more segment. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Not sure when to try an unusual novel? Let the customers speak for themselves. Here's another Amazon customer review for Bob Siegel's latest book, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. While there is nothing in this book that would stop you from giving it to or reading it to your kids, this book will certainly hold an adult's interest as well. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has it all. Magic, talking cats, bullies who get their comeuppance, fun dialogue, and a good story. Do not let the title fool you. While Christmas does play a prominent role, this is really not a Christmas story, and it can be read at any time of the year, except February 31st. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. At SDCC, you'll find a number of dynamic degree and certificate programs, including business, aviation, kinesiology, education, psychology, ministry, and more. Our curriculum blends academic excellence with a Christian worldview, ensuring you graduate ready to make a meaningful impact. Your journey starts here. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College. Begin your journey.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host.
And this is Bob Siegel.
Yeah.
Let me run through a few sports stars real quick, and then I'm going to get to some predictions. My favorite baseball player, in fact, I think he was the best all-around baseball player in history, Willie Mays, passed away. Say hey, kid. He did everything. He could hit for power. He could catch. He could throw. He could steal, run. He was something. So we lost Willie. And then you don't follow sports as much, but the man that they took the silhouette for the NBA logo, Jerry West, Laker great. Jerry West passed away. Another controversial guy, Pete Rose, the all-time hit leader, but is not in the Hall of Fame because he gambled. And so it was a great, great player, but he just wasn't very humble. If he just humbled himself and apologized at the start of it all, they probably would have been easier on him. And I mentioned this guy earlier because he was a big Deadhead, meaning he loved the Grateful Dead. Bill Walton from San Diego went to Helix High School and played his final year for the San Diego Clippers. And he was a great, great player, ball player. Another controversial guy, but he was a tremendous athlete, O.J. Simpson. That would be Orenthal James Simpson. He will always be remembered dimly because of that whole episode, but he was a great running back. NASCAR great Bobby Allison, and he was back in the early days with Richard Petty and Kelly Arbor and those guys, and he was a great, great driver. And then the last sports guy that I'll mention here, another Dodger, pitcher Fernando Valenzuela. He was very colorful. He was a tremendous pitcher. He had a screwball that no one could hit, and Tommy Lasorda loved him. They got along great. So there you go. Those are people we lost this year. I mourn them. Many of them were people that I really, really was a big fan of. As I said, the list gets longer and longer every year.
And it's always sad.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I have to do this every year. I have to make predictions. And I imagine if Brandon keeps track of what time, what what month and year we get.
Let's just say, Jim, you don't have the greatest batting average right now.
I don't have a very good record on this, but I'm going to do it anyway, and I'm going to play it safe this year. I'm going to go with pedigree. I'm going to go with proven record over the years. So here we go. The NCAA College Football Championship, which now will begin with 12 teams in a playoff format, I'm going to go with the Georgia Bulldogs, who just upset all my local friends' favorite Texas Longhorns. And I think Georgia can beat Oregon. I'm going to root for Oregon, but I'm going to, well, I'm not betting money, but if I was, I'd bet on Georgia. In the Super Bowl, the team right now that is beating your Los Angeles Dodgers, the Kansas City Chiefs are going to do it again. They're a dynasty. They're the real thing. And I know they've had some close wins, but they're wins. And that's what you got to remember. It's, oh, well, they've had so many close wins. You know what? That's better than close losses.
It helps when you pay the referees to go your way, but that's another story,
okay,
Jim.
Okay, okay. yeah, you're a conspiracy theorist. In college basketball, the NCAA Division I Men's Final Four Tournament, I'm going to go with the Duke Blue Devils. And that one's getting out on a limb a little bit, but you know what? They've got the pedigree. They've got the history. They have a new coach, third-year coach, but they have a lot of returning starters from last year, so I'm going with Duke. And in the NBA, professional basketball, which I never watch, but it's there, I'm going to go with the Boston Celtics, who have won even more titles than the Lakers. And then forgive me for doing this. Please forgive me. Don't send hate mail. Don't threaten anybody at KCBQ, but I'm afraid I see a repeat coming in the World Series, the hated Dodgers. Yes, that's who they are. My children grew up, they didn't know it was the L.A. Dodgers. They thought the name of the team was the hated Dodgers. And they just keep buying more players and spending more money. So I just can't bet against them. And then last prediction, to win Movie of the Year in the Academy Awards. This is kind of a no-brainer, but I'm going to go with Wicked.
I'm going to do a whole show on Wicked because I saw it on Broadway, and there's things I like about it and things I don't like about it. I haven't seen the movie yet, but
neither have I.
I will be talking more about Wicked in the future.
Include this, will you? It's a very confusing film because the protagonist is a green black woman who's a witch that really isn't so wicked.
Well, that's the thing. It tries to turn good and evil on its head, and it began this trend that we've since seen picked up with movies like Maleficent and now the evil witch in Sleeping Beauty wasn't really evil.
Yeah.
And we saw it in Ron Howard's The Grinch, although that actually predated Wicked. Yeah. The Grinch grew up in a dysfunctional family. So this moving away from calling good good and evil evil.
Now, Bob, we did talk about this off the air. If they were to say, like, oh, we're creating our own universe, like early on in the movie, like we're in this universe, but we're not canon with it, then obviously I was fine with that. And then you agreed on that part, too. As long as they said, okay, we're not canon.
But did they say that with Wicked?
No,
I don't think
they did.
They said
this is supposed to be canon.
Yeah.
And that's what disappoints a lot.
Yeah, because that's not what Frank Baum, the original author, intended. No, and we should honor the original author.
Yeah. So anyway, that movie will probably win.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt. It's a very popular movie. It probably will win.
Now, to go back to more important things or serious things, perhaps, will Donald Trump turn things around? Can he do it?
He'll turn some things around, but not as many as he wants, because they're going to try to stop him at every turn. They're going to go to the courts every minute. Yeah. And like I said, I just don't trust the rhinos. His biggest enemies last time were the rhinos, and I think they're going to prove to be his biggest enemies this time as well.
Yeah,
but there is a lot more public groundswell support for Trump than last time, and I think he will get a lot of things done. Which things? I don't know. Certainly the economy will be better. I think the border will be better. I don't know if they're going to succeed in cutting all these expenses in Washington. There are too many people there entrenched that simply do not want that to happen.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. In Vegas, they talk about the over-under. How many of his initial appointments to the cabinet will not last a year?
Oh, I wouldn't give a number, but I would say a fair amount. That would be my safe guess. Well, Jim, we are actually out of time.
Okay. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. And by the way, everybody, this will be the last live show of the year. We've got some annual Christmas specials, so the Bob Siegel Show will play every Sunday in December. And I will be back with you for a brand spanking new show in January. And we are approaching the end of the 20th year of the Bob Siegel Show. Seems like just yesterday when I started. But we are reaching the conclusion of the 20th year. I premiered January 2005.
My goodness. Well, congratulations.
Well, Jim, and we've had you a good deal of that time over the years. It's been an honor to have you.
It's just been a blessing. So thank you. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.